I would like tonight to read in the book of Daniel in chapter 5. Daniel 5 and verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lord, and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whiles he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Verse 4, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Further down the chapter, verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. Verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Over to the New Testament, to the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. John's Gospel, chapter 20. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. A final reading in the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 14, verse 27, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And that's all we'll read. We've read quite a lot tonight, but what I have in mind is very simple. I would like to speak on the hand. We read in Daniel chapter 5 of the hand of warning. The hand of God warning Belshazzar that his time was up. He had overstepped his limit. He had exhausted the long suffering of God. When we come to Matthew chapter 5, we have read the hindering hand. The Lord Jesus says, If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Does that mean I must cut my hand off? No, that's not what it means. It simply means this. If there's something in a person's life that they desire more than God's salvation, if it's worth more than salvation, if it's worth more than cutting off of the hand, far better to do without the hand and get God's salvation than to live with two hands, die in your sin, and land in hell. A hindering hand. We read in John chapter 20 of the inviting hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reach hither thy finger, behold my hand. Those hands were wounded upon the cross at Calvary. Why did the Savior allow himself to be taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain? Friend, it was in love to your soul and in love to mine. The Savior went to the cross and shed his blood for the cleansing of our sin. When we come to Matthew chapter 14, we have read of the saving hand. Peter began to sink. He says, Lord, save me. Jesus put forth his hand, and he saved him. Many a soul has come to this point They have come to the end of all their resources. Peter stepped out in the water, and he began to walk in the water. But he got taken up with the things around him, and he began to sink. He lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people like to be saved, and they think of one thing and another thing. My friend, God's salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There's no other Savior but God's beloved Son. And so in his distress and in his great need, he cries, "Lord, save me." Jesus put forth his hand and saved him. Could I ask you a question tonight in the meeting? Did you ever cry out of an honest heart, "Lord, save me"? I did, 43 years ago, as a lost sinner, sinking because of my sin. I cried to God for mercy. Luke chapter 18, the publican cried, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." You see, salvation is a very personal thing. Sometimes people sit in a meeting, and when something is said, well, they say that fits that person, or that would fit someone maybe that's not here, instead of taking it home to their own heart. Well, we trust, friend, tonight, by the help of God, His Word will reach your heart and your conscience, that you might receive an eternal blessing. And if you got God's salvation tonight, you would receive an eternal blessing. A blessing that cannot be bought. British Columbia is a wealthy province. There's not enough money in it to buy salvation. Wouldn't buy your seat in heaven. All the money in Canada and across the world would not buy a sinner a seat in God's heaven. Every seat that will be filled in heaven has been blood bought. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth me from all sin. Those who have fled for refuge to the blood, and we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and the blood that He shed to keep us out of hell. That's the teaching we find in God's book. Now, Belshazzar was a great king, and God had blessed him, but he just overstepped his limit. Belshazzar knew how God had dealt with his father Nebuchadnezzar, as we read in chapter 5. Nebuchadnezzar was number one man in this world. Whom he would he slew, whom he would he kept alive. Our friend Saddam Hussein, he thinks he's a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. He might be. I don't know. But Nebuchadnezzar was number one man whenever he lived in this world. And because he did not praise God, he was brought down from that throne to eat grass like an ox. That's a big come down. Belshazzar knew that. Belshazzar did something similar. He brought the vessels out of the house of God. He blasphemed the name of God. He thought he could get away with it. We're living in times just the same. Many blaspheme the name of God. They blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not give Him His rightful place. He's a son of God. As he walked the sands of time, he was God manifested in flesh. He came from heaven, from heaven's high heaven. He was the highest of the high. Yet in love to poor perishing sinner, He left heaven and out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe. Only His great eternal love made my Savior go. Friend, in love to you and me tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the scene to save sinners. We like to preach to sinners for their salvation for sinners. There's people who measure themselves by others. That's not how God measures us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no amount of religion or ritual or good works or deed could ever save a soul from going down to hell. The only remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ and the work He accomplished at the place called Calvary. Belshazzar was full of wine. He was at a party. He was having a great time. But then all of a sudden a finger of a man's hand appeared. It began to write. Read the chapter carefully, and you'll find that Belshazzar was the only one that saw that finger. The others saw the writing, but they didn't see the finger. God singled that man out from that company. And in gospel meeting, God singled souls out. He singled souls out that they might be blessed for salvation. He gives them an opportunity of getting saved. But here that hand was a hand of warning. Belshazzar, you are sinning against light. Belshazzar, you knew all that took place in Nebuchadnezzar's life, and yet you're continuing on to sin against God. Friend, you can't sin and keep on sinning and get away with it. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you one. Belshazzar sinning against the light that he had. That hand bothered him. It was a hand of warning. Maybe God in these meetings has warned some that have been attending. And if this is the first time you're here, God may only give you the one warning, but He warns you tonight. John the Baptist preaching, he says, flee from the wrath which is to come. And well may a soul flee from wrath to come. The warning hand of God writing Belshazzar's doom upon the wall. And he calls in the wise men and the astrologers, and they called in. He wants them to read the writing. They couldn't read the writing. That was the writing of God, writing the doom of Belshazzar upon the wall. A warning. One night Julius Caesar, he was having a party. Someone gave him an envelope. And in the midst of his wine, he put it in his pocket. He says, pleasure tonight, business tomorrow. The next morning, Julius Caesar lay dead. In his pocket, a warning of a plot against his life on open. How many warnings go unheeded? Oh, dear soul, tonight without Christ, God has warned you faithfully. We are warned continuously every day. Death is on your track and on mine. And if you are not saved, and death overtakes you, your soul will be in hell forever. Did that ever register in your heart? That registered in my heart when I heard the gospel many years ago, and I trembled at the thought of meeting God. Oh, my friend, a warning. You know, when a person is brought to face death, it's a solemn occasion. It's a solemn time. Just 2 years ago, I sat on a bed in a hospital with my wife in Halifax, Nova Scotia. A surgeon came in. He examined her. He was going to have a bypass operation the next day and the replacement of a valve in her heart. He examined her and he said, "I think you're fit for the operation." But he said, "You know," he sat down and he said, "the success of this operation has 93% success." He wrote down 93 in his card. He says, 93% of people that have it, they make it. Many Rupa said it, 7%. Do a ring around it. He says, 7%. Don't make. Now he said, "Mrs. Bingham, you are going to be one of those 2%. Either the 93% or the 7%. My wife looked at him. She said, "Do you tell that to everybody?" He says, "Every person patient for an operation, I always tell them that before the operation. 93% make it, 7% don't make it." My wife was amongst the 7% that didn't make it. But would you allow me tonight to borrow those two figures? Possibly, in this meeting here tonight, there are 93% who are saved. They're going to walk the golden street of heaven. 93% saved. 7% that won't make. Could we ask you tonight, lady, which percentage would represent you? Are you going to make it? Or are you not going to make it? Friend, it's for eternity. The warning hand of God. The Titanic crossing the Atlantic, 1912. The man up on the bridge. There's icebergs ahead. Captain said, "Full speed ahead." For 15 hours, there was a warning. Icebergs ahead. That ship didn't slow. We know what happened. She went down. Why? Because it did not heed the warning. Friend, if you don't heed the warnings of God, don't you think for a moment you're going to come out on top. The only way to get right with God is to agree with God and to take His word for Him. The warning hand of God in the life of Belshazzar in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldean slain. We read of the hindering hand in Matthew chapter 5. "If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off." Friend, salvation to a person that gets it is all important. Multitudes want salvation. They would like to be saved, but they never get it. Why? They don't go in for it. You find inside the pages of God's book, and I'm thinking of Acts chapter 16, when the Philippian jailer desired salvation. He said and cried, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Nothing hindering him. Above all things, he wanted salvation. That's why he got it. And those here tonight who are saved, that's why they got it. And if you are ever going to get it, you need to put it first. You read of the inviting hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Look at my hands and see," he says to you, "I bore the nails for thee, I died to set thee free. Come and rejoice. The inviting hand of the Lord Jesus Christ to you tonight. We read of the saving hand. Peter cried, Lord, save me. Have you come to that point yet? That you want to be saved? Why did Peter cry, Lord, save me? Because he realized he was sinking. When a sinner realizes, I'm on the way down to hell, and I'm going to be there forever. You see, it's a dreadful thought to think about hell, isn't it? We would like to live it up all our lives and forget about hell. Many have, but they're sorry tonight. They've left earth without a Savior, gone out to meet God unprepared. There's a possibility if you're not saved, you could do the same. We trust that tonight you'll go in for God's salvation. A saving hand. There is one who is willing to save you tonight. How do we know? My friend, he died to save you. He willingly went to the cross. He said, I could ask my Father for 12 legions of angels. But in love to you and me, all the way to Calvary, he went that we might be saved. May you come to him tonight. He's able. He's willing to save you. Are you willing to be saved? He wants to save you. My friend, he died that you might be saved. Would you be willing tonight to trust him alone for salvation? To stand on the edge of an unending eternity, facing that great beyond from whence there's no return, simply resting on a promise from God. That's what salvation is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should never be in hell, but possess, have everlasting life. May it be your portion. It would be a dreadful thing to land in the everlasting fire without a Savior, without a hope of ever getting a Savior. He can be yours tonight. Trust him and go on your way rejoicing.